Dwayne Eastwood, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now turn on over to 459. 459. Let's sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. This evening is 328. 328, only trust Him.
Thank you. I get to sing a solo. So. I don't know. Nope. No special music. But we get to have a special verse of scripture here. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7, and the beginning part of this verse. First Peter chapter 2, verse 7. A 16-year-old boy had come to faith in Christ not too long before, and captivated by the salvation that God had given, there was a little band of people meeting in a home that was needing someone to deliver a message on the Lord's Day. And through the providence of God, he was called upon to deliver a message. And by his own testimony, he didn't know much theology, but he knew the Lord Jesus. And he came to this passage of Scripture and preached his very first sermon. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And I've thought about this verse of Scripture in light of Charles Spurgeon preaching his first sermon from this passage of Scripture. And what a beautiful and lovely text it really is. And how I just want us to focus in on these few short words as we come to focus upon our Lord and to see His value and His worth. And may God stir in us that same appreciation, that same love for Him as well. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing upon this portion of Scripture. Dear Father, we come to you asking you, Lord, for your grace, that you would show us the depth and the meaning of the value and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I know that I am inadequate for such a task. Yet, Lord, I pray that you would just bless your word to your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this portion of Scripture, there is really one word that is the focal point or the main aspect of it, and that is the word precious. I feel like if we understand what that word means, we will have a good understanding of what this passage is about. And as we come to that word, interestingly enough, this word precious means that there's something of inherent value in who Jesus Christ is. And there's also an aspect that the word that's found here is the same word that is translated in other places in our Bible, honor. And so we have this aspect of honor and value. And so that kind of helps us understand when you honor someone, you are showing that they are have weight, that they are of value in your life. And so there's kind of, in some sense, a little bit of just an element of two different ways that this can be taken. He is valuable, he is precious in that sense, and now this would be kind of along the idea of to the perspective of the believer. Just like God has the very same opinion, and the same word is found here, which is nice to be connected, when back in verse 4 it says, chosen of God and precious. So God is, his evaluation of Jesus is that he selected him and that he is precious to God. And so when we're saying this in verse 7, we are saying that we have the same valuation of Jesus that God does. Now, we obviously need our thoughts to be, not that we have the full understanding of the value of Jesus, but we are in harmony. He is precious to us just as he is to God. Now, if the other aspect here in terms of honor is in at the forefront of this, this would be the kind of aspect that we're looking at. So we're going to look at both of them tonight, spending mostly on the former. I mean, the former here. But this would have the idea of he honors him. So Christ, God honors Christ, but it's not saying here that we honor Christ, but that Christ is to us honor. And this would have the idea that we will have the same result, the end product that Christ has. So both of these kind of align ourselves, focus upon the Lord Jesus. We'll look at both of them here tonight in a short order. So I want us to just, before we jump into those, this main word, He is precious, and examine that from multiple different angles. Let's look at this element of the word faith. He says, unto you therefore which believe. So it is to those who believe, and only to those who believe, that Jesus Christ is precious, because it is by faith that we perceive His true worth. You will not come to the full appreciation of Jesus Christ until you believe what God has said about Him and what is true in His Word. And so faith is the prerequisite, the glasses by which you can see the true value of Jesus. But this is also the test of your faith. To everyone who believes, Jesus Christ is precious. You say, I'm not sure if I believe or not. Is Jesus precious to you? Because if Jesus Christ is not precious to you, you are not one of the ones who are believers. This is the way it's laid out for us. To those who believe, He is precious, and it's a contrast. You can see the very next words. But unto them which be disobedient. There's a whole different perspective on Jesus to those who will not believe and are disobedient against Him. And so here we have this incredible contrast. And so we ought to say, a believer in Christ tonight will affirm and say, yes, Jesus Christ is precious to me. So what does it mean for something to be precious? There's three aspects that we could identify with this. The first aspect would be that something is rare. You know, we think about precious metals. Those are things that are that they're hard to come by. And it's not something that's, let me put it this way. If I, as I was driving home a little bit in the afternoon, coming back, all of a sudden, out of the kind of the weirdness of the sky, rain started falling on my windshield. Now, it looked kind of, there was clouds in the sky, but there was plenty of sun around. And all of a sudden, here comes this rain. And I'm thinking, oh, that's nice. A little bit of rain. What a good thing. But you know what? Rain is more valuable when you haven't had it in a while. When we were going through that 2-year drought and a little bit, oh, it rained. There might be times in which this year it might have rained and we didn't really remark much about it unless we were reminded of that time of that need. Can you imagine if we were in the Serengeti Desert and we started to see that rain fall? Oh, that would be much more precious to us. So there's an element to which something is rare, but there's also the element that it has to have intrinsic value to it. You know, if there's something in terms of that's really, really rare, but it doesn't mean anything, then it's not going to be precious to us. There are things that have intrinsic value to us because of their relationship to us. You may have, and how many of you say, I have something of my grandparents in my house? All right, we got some. All right, well, that's quite a bit. You say, those things are kind of precious to you, are they not? You say, there's really no way to go back and to touch their lives. And maybe someone has gone, you may have, I almost feel with as many hands like that, I wonder if I can say how many people have great-grandparents, you know, because there would be some, you go back in terms of history and say, wow, this is we call those heirlooms that have been passed down from generation to generation, and they are valuable to us. And then something that is precious is going to be something that is unique in terms of its usefulness. It has an ability that nothing else has. I went to go fix something on my car, and lo and behold, it takes a fancy doodah little spiral head star thing, and I'm like, oh man, I got to go around and hunt for this type of thing that's going to fit just inside. It's not just a normal flat head or Phillips head. It's got this weird looking head on it type thing, and I got to find, and I find that one little thing. I'm like, okay, this has a special use. Don't lose this. And I'm sure you have some of these tools in your house that that's the only thing that can tighten that screw, or the only thing that can fix that when it goes wrong. And you say that this is more important because of the skill that it has. And so when we begin to compare these things to Jesus Christ, I think we can find that He is certainly precious indeed. When we come to this element of rareness, there is no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God in His holiness, and He is man in His lowliness. And there is no one that combines those two, and we may almost say polar opposites, the infiniteness of God and the finitude of man combined in one person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One, set apart from sinners, set apart for sinners. And He has this beautiful thing. If you want to know how precious something is, then just find out, just like the illustration of rain, what is the want of it? What is the lack of Christ? And if we begin to see what the lack of Christ would mean, then it makes Him more precious to us. Ultimately, your needs make His love and His promises more dear to you. We can examine some of these things and look at some of that in just a moment here. Just thinking about different aspects of what Jesus mentioned about Himself. He is the one pearl of great price. He said that He is worthwhile so that we should be willing to sell everything that we possess so we can have this one prize in all of our life. He is the one who is greater than the temple. He is the one man who should die for the people. He is the one sacrifice for sins forever. He is the one offering that hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Talks about one man's offense, death reigned by all. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. By the obedience of one, many are made righteous. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. He is unique. He is the only one that can stand between us and God. Can you imagine back in the days of the Civil War? They knew that war was not pretty. They knew that war was the meat grinder. And in fact, in the North, if you wanted to, if you could find someone, if you were drafted, you could pay someone else to be a substitute. I'm reading a book about Theodore Roosevelt, and his dad paid someone to be a substitute for him in the war. Because what a relief to find someone who would be willing to go off and to fight in your place. Of course, there were many who felt like they carried the scars of that too, that they didn't go and fight. I'm not saying that's but the only aspect of, there was people that, I do not want to stand in the battle. Someone stood as a substitute for them. But let's imagine here that what you need is a substitute for execution. Now, we don't have public executions really nowadays. That's so far beneath us, and how we have become such a wonderful advanced society because of it. Now we just have public assassinations. But there's an aspect of, if you can imagine, someone is going to the gallows. Someone is going to swing, and their aspect of, and you look at that person, and here they are, they're moments from death, and oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if they would have a substitute now? But who would do that? Who would step forth to take that person's place, knowing that it was but moments to minutes before they would die? And yet, we'd say, scarcely would one die for the righteous. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, it's much worse than an execution. Imagine yourself standing before the eternal lake of fire. And you are to be cast into that place where the worm dies not, and the darkness is eternal, and the smoke rises. And there is no hope, and you will be lost forever. Wouldn't you want to have a substitute then who would take your place and bear the wrath of God? Jesus came forth from heaven, took upon himself humanity so that he could fulfill the righteousness of the law, so that he could stand in the executioner's block and bear on that cross the eternal outpouring of the wrath of God for you and for me. He cried out, "If there's any other way, God, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Hours he agonized in that garden because he knew the consequences. Consequences that we cannot even quite comprehend until we stand before his throne and see the majesty of his purity and the holiness of his wrath. There is only one substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about our needs, we are a shepherd. I'm sorry, we are sheep. Sorry. In need of a shepherd. He is that one shepherd. The Bible compares us to a desolate woman in need of a husband, of a wandering pilgrim, unsheltered from the elements, needing a rock on which to hide ourselves. We are slaves in need of someone to set us free. We are the sick and the dying in need of a healer and a doctor. We are like a drowning man. We are going under. It is over. We need a Savior. And it is found in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. When you think about the intrinsic value of something, oh, Jesus is not necessarily just precious to us. He is the precious one. He is preciousness itself. All value is found in Jesus Christ. On other subjects, you and I might be guilty in danger of exaggerating the importance and the grandeur of something. But you and I have never exaggerated on the glory of Jesus. In fact, the Bible says He is high above all praise. Even in the greatest things that we have ever understood and the greatest aspirations, and when we come to speak about it, words fail us. And even on understanding fall short. Most people require a great deal of distance before we admire them. But the closer we get to them, the more we find out about their foibles, and the less we tend to hold them in esteem and honor. But the reality is, Jesus is found precious by those who know Him best. And those who draw closest to Him are those who praise Him most. Because there is nothing in Him that is odious. He is goodness. Think about all the wonderful things that God has done for us. You think about election. The Bible tells us that we are chosen of God and precious. But did you know that we are chosen in Christ? Oh, adoption is a wonderful thing, but you and I are adopted in Christ. We could go on. We could talk about pardon and forgiveness. But forgiveness comes when you are in and by the blood of Jesus. Justification, the righteousness. We are justified when we are placed in Him. We are preserved because we are in Him. We are sanctified. We are glorified. We are resurrected because we are resurrected with Him. We ascend on high because we sit in the heavenly places in Christ. All of the good things that come to us only come to us because we're in Jesus. He is the one who is surely that true goodness that brings all goodness to us. It's in Him and by Him and through Him and to Him that are all things. It is Jesus. It is His great worth. Let us think about the usefulness of our Savior. Is He not precious to you in the hour of guilt and conviction? When you feel, rightfully so, that you could not lift your eyes to behold God because He cannot look upon you for your sin. At the moment that you thought you were so clean, you realized that you were so corrupted by pride. You were so defiled by the corruption of your own heart that is contaminating each and everything that you do. And you feel conviction and you feel guilt and you need someone. You look towards God and you see that there's a mediator of forgiveness that comes in the first place. Peter 1:19, the precious blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. Oh, He is precious. He is precious in the hour of shame when you feel the need for clothing before the throne of God. Is not Jesus precious in the hour of sickness? Now, many times we might think, oh, I understand this sickness, and oh, I just need some Tylenol, or I just need something here. But all of a sudden, there's a time or two when all of a sudden we get to the place where you're like, what's going on? Why isn't the normal things that I'm taking helping me? And I'm actually prolonging, and I'm getting worse. And you get to the place you may think in your mind, is there something seriously wrong here? Is this possibly the beginning of the end? You get that moment of great sickness and you're like, and you cry out from your sick bed and you can't do anything but look up and you're praying to God and to Jesus Christ. And you know in that moment, He cares for you. He's concerned about your needs. He is precious to you. Is He not precious to you in the hour of trial? When you've lost something of value, when something feels like it's in danger, one of our children, I don't mean to make it anything heroic or big, but I'm just explaining from my own experiences. Nothing serious happened. But all of a sudden, one of them says, my heart, oh! And they fall down. I'm sorry, but as a parent, you go, am I about to lose one of my children? And you grab them and you run. And what do you do between here and the hospital? You pray. And Jesus is precious because you can rely upon Him. He says He is able to take everything in your life and turn it for good. And that promise assures you. Is He not precious to you in the hour of parenthood? Remember the moments when my children come into this world and I experience the great love that I have for them. And I'm thinking, some of them, I've been close to 40 years old when they're given birth. And I'm thinking, I want to protect them and love them and make sure they have everything that they need, but they'll probably outlive me. And I won't be able to be there for all of their life. But Jesus can. And He will, and I can trust them to Him. Is He not precious in the hour of deprivation? You have suffered the loss of something. Like the Apostle Paul when he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. For Jesus, what have you sacrificed? What have you given up? And he says, I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Christ is more precious than all the things of this world. I give them all up so that I can walk with Him. Sometimes God does take some things out of our lives so that we would look up and we would see Him in His face and we would say, Lord, You're more precious to me than these things. God looks at us and says, dost Thou love me more than these? And there's a Christian who can say, yes, He is more valuable. Is He not more precious when we come to have to bury a loved one? When you've stood around the graveside and realized that you've said your last goodbye. And we know that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And we will see them again. Is He not precious to us in old age? We know that we're living by His pleasure. And He has numbered all of our days. Oh, we may feel like we're not as useful as we used to be. There's things that we cannot do. And in fact, sometimes people get into their 80s and 90s and they begin to feel as if their life is pointless. And yet Jesus Christ is precious because they can know He has numbered my days. I am alive because He wants me to be alive. And I must serve Him while He gives me breath. Is He not precious in the valley of the shadow of death? Because you can say, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Is He precious in the moment of martyrdom? How many saints have testified that Jesus is precious to them? Because when it came to the moment of would you deny Jesus Christ, or would you burn or be flayed or be well, we don't need to talk about all the things that has happened to church Christians. I mean, read Fox's Book of Martyrs and look at all the inventions that man have come up with to torture and mutilate, and to bring someone to their last breath, and yet someone, seeing what has happened to others, still would not deny Jesus Christ because He is precious. All the martyrs witness that He is precious to the believer. Is He not precious at the throne of God? When you enter into that place where your verdict and your eternal destiny will be decided. And Jesus Christ says, I'm not ashamed of Him. She's mine. We're His sheep. And He claims us for His own. He stands with His wounds to intercede. And we have access to God's eternal home because of Him. Is Jesus not precious to you who believe? What could we compare to Christ? Silver and gold? Well, the Bible talks about that. What, more than my necessary food? How about family? We would forsake our children and our wife and our husband and our parents and our dearest friend to follow Jesus Christ. He says, anyone who's not willing to do that is not worthy of him. That is the nature of the one pearl of great price. How about liberty? We would say, if I would not be free, then let me die. Patriots of old have claimed that. But if you had to choose between liberty or Christ, to speak the name of Jesus would require you to go into bondage. We would give up freedom to wear the chains of bondage for our Lord, because He is more precious. As the devil said of Job, skin for skin, all that a man hath he will give for his life. Do you love Jesus more than your own life? And yet, the witnesses throughout the ages have recognized that Jesus is more precious than my own life. I'm willing to lose my life for His sake and the gospel's. Jesus Christ is precious to us. So as we think about the preciousness of Christ, think also about what it would mean if this word has the understanding of honor. In this context, it would fit well because it would be the opposite of what we see in verse 6. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded, ashamed. But the opposite of that is, because of Jesus Christ, He is honor to the believer. Just like in Corinthians, He says, Jesus is your righteousness. He is your holiness. He is your redemption. Jesus is the honor of the believer. This would correlate with 1 Peter 1:7, where it says that our faith, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Because we are founded on the rock, and we are built upon the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, when we get to heaven, we are not going to ever be ashamed. It is our great honor to be a part of His temple and His priesthood, to be one of His children. Jesus is the greatest honor for the believer. In fact, it says here in 2 Thessalonians 1:12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Yes, our lives are all about the glory and honor of Jesus. And then He says, and ye, same words, will be glorified in Him. Our glorification takes place because we're in Christ and the honor that He wants to give. That is the exact opposite of what believers experience today. In fact, the believers we know that Peter were writing to, if you look over at verse 12, he says, how are they being treated among the unsaved Gentiles? He says that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they are throwing all kinds of mud up against you and saying whatever they can say falsely to tear down this honor that you have as being a believer, and yet it's not true. Yes, you may live with shame as a believer in this life, but there is an honor that is coming in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He appears, He brings the honor for the believer. There is something that God will honor you for your faithfulness to Him by His grace. It is our honor that He is our master. It is our great privilege that He is our Father, that He is our God, and you and I will never cease to boast in what He has done for us. We're going to be talking all over heaven. Can you imagine? I know you can believe it, but you won't believe it, what God did in my life. What God has done for us here. Oh, it's incredible. God is so good. Oh, the enjoyment is so grand. Everything is so special. There's nothing here that I wouldn't want. I'm not pining over anything. It's all here. God's grace. But it is an honor to believers only. Unto you, therefore, which believe, would He be honor. But the reality is, for everyone who does not believe, in fact, the aspect here is going to talk about the end result. The end consequence is utter shame in the rejection of Jesus Christ, the chosen cornerstone. And so all this puts before us here these two aspects. Can we value Jesus Christ? Do we see Him as the one and only Savior of my soul? And therefore, because I believe on Him, I am hanging on Him. It is Jesus and His rope that is holding me above the pit of hell. And if He lets go of the rope, I will plunge into that abyss. But I'm not grabbing on any other rope. I'm not looking for any other sufficiency. I have no reservoir. All of my eggs are in one basket. I am putting all of my confidence in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And for that, He is precious to me. Because He has promised. He has promised to be my salvation, my redemption. He has promised to be with me, to never leave me or forsake me. May we rejoice in our Savior. And every problem that you have, seek Jesus Christ as the solution. And in every enjoyment, praise Him for His grace. And may we turn every event, every conversation, into something that exalts our Savior, because He is precious to us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for the Lord Jesus, who is precious. And we thank You for the gifts and the rewards and the honor that He brings with Him when He comes to us. May we honor Him with our life. We will never regret living for His glory. We will never feel any pointlessness in that we have exalted Him. So, Father, fill us by Your Spirit. Guide us by Your voice. And show us, Lord, how we are to walk in such a way worthy of our Savior. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Hand chime practice in the old building following the service. Thank you.